How do you guys like my jersey? Raider fans here? Yeah. We got you last week, buddies. Woo! Bam! That's why I'm wearing this. In your face. Hey. No matter what. Hey, bro. I'm just keeping it real, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not expecting anything from the Chargers this year, but we beat you down. Oh, that's crazy, right? Look, Pastor getting all crazy about the Chargers. Anyways, go Chargers, right? Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Tell them, you're awesome. You're awesome. Even if you think they're not, it's okay. Okay? So grab your outlines, and here's your first fill-in. Your pens and outlines, or if you have your phone, here's your first fill-in. The series Big Idea, something we've been saying each week from this series, is that we are sent people to bless people where we live, where we work, and where we play. If you are a Jesus follower, you are invited into the same kingdom of God mission that Jesus had. The same one. We are not saved to chill and do nothing, to just sit around and watch Netflix and do nothing, right? You know, series after series, you stay up to 2 in the morning and you don't know why, right? We're not saved to do that. We are not saved to come to church every Sunday. The goal is to be the church showing and sharing the love of Jesus in the world. That is the goal. That is what we are supposed to do. One of the things that we need to do is we need to understand that our God is a missional God. God is on a mission. He is a missional God. He has always had a mission to help people find their way back to Him, right? He's on a mission. That is why the Father sent the Son. That is why the Son sent the Spirit. And that's why the Spirit is sending us, the church. Remember, I talked about this a few weeks ago. We are the church. The church is not the building. We are the church, right? So He's sending us to accomplish the mission of helping people find their way back to Him. That's His mission, and that is our mission. So tell your neighbor, you're on a mission. You're on a mission. Again, say it again. All right. So Jesus sent people. Jesus people are sent people, right? We are sent people. And we are sent to bless people where we live, work, and play. And these all three of these places are important to us because that's where we spend our time. Now, a lot of us spend maybe 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours at work, right? Sometimes you spend a lot of time at home, I hope, right? 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 Yeah? If you're not home, then you're probably not married or something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So God, all these three parts or three areas are very important to what God wants to do. So God's strategy for reaching and restoring our world has always been His people to bless people. That is His plan for us, the church, to bless people. So God blesses me so I can then bless others. Right? This is how the kingdom of God works. God blesses me with His love so I can unconditionally love others. God blesses me with His forgiveness. Now I can forgive others. Right? Right?
Right.
But you don't know my... Right? But you don't... Only if you knew my... Maybe some of you are thinking that, right? Yeah, I know God, you know, forgave me, but I'm not going to forgive Pancho or Sancho. Anybody know what how to translate that? Sancho? The milkman? Right? Hey, that wasn't in my notes. Let's calm down, people. Calm down. All right? So God forgives me, so now I can forgive others. God blesses me with joy, and now I can encourage and bring joy to others. God blesses me with resources beyond what I need, so I can bless others. Right? So a foundational verse that we've been using throughout this series is in Genesis, and we're going to read it out loud together. It's on the screen. It's also on your outline. Are you guys ready? Ready. At the count of three, one, two, three. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. How does that look right now? Are we doing that? Something to think about, right? So the first law of blessing is it must be outward, right? It must flow outward. Right? God makes a promise to Abraham that he would not only bring blessing into his life, but there would be so much blessing that it would overflow into the world around him. Right? This is what God did through Abraham. And this is what God did through the nation of Israel. And this is what God did through Jesus. And that is what he wants to do through us. So we've been going through the acronym BLESS. For those of you who are here for the first time, there is a bookmark in your outline, a little bookmark. So when you read your Bible every day, like I know you all do, right? You put the bookmark and you can use it, and you could start your day by praying for the people around you. So what does this mean? Bless stands for five simple rhythms to share Jesus. But let me say this. This strategy is not about some weird package program or religious checklist to convert people. And that is not what it is, right? Bless is simply about learning to live and love like Jesus, right? It's not a prepackaged program that we're going to do so we can convert people. No, it's just simple, you know, live and love like Jesus. So I've been asking all through this series, is like, what if we learn to live in these rhythms, right? This Jesus way. What would happen in our world? What would happen in our city? What would happen at our job? What would happen in our home? What would happen in our neighborhood if we really applied this Jesus way? Where a bunch of us, you know, did this in our school, in our area where we're at, how would that look like? What would happen? What would change? What would be different? A lot of things would be different, right? A lot of things would be different. So this is what B stands for. You guys ready? Yeah. B stands for begin with prayer. Ask God, how do you want to bless the world today? How do you want to bless the world through me today? And be mindful of that during the day. Hey, I'm on a mission for Jesus, right? Show me, Lord, where to go and what to do, right? Be mindful of that. Hey, I'm here on a mission today. God is going to use me today to do something with the people around me. The second one, L, stands for listen. Everyone you know wants someone to listen to them. Everyone you know wants them to to have someone to listen to their hopes, to their dreams, to their challenges, to their hurts. We want people who care about us enough to listen to us, don't we? Yeah. Right? I do. And I'm praying for my wife to listen to me more often. You know what I'm saying? Husbands, right? Husbands, we got all the same problem, right? And then they're the ones that complain. You don't listen to me. Well, you don't listen to me either. You know what I'm saying? So we can start with, what do you want me to do for you today? Right? With the people that you want to love, that you want to serve. Hey, what do you want me to do for you today? David Osberger said, I shared this last week. He says this, being listened to is so close to being loved that most people cannot tell the difference. So people feel loved when we sit there and listen and not interrupt them. Hey, you need to be quiet because I have some great ideas that I need to tell you. Right? Hurry up and stop talking, right? That's what a lot of us do. Right? Being listened to is so close to being loved that most people cannot tell the difference. Here's the next one, E. is eat. I love to eat. Who doesn't like to eat? Raise your hand if you love to eat. All right. All right. Well, invite me to eat. I like to eat too. All right. So sharing a meal is sharing life. Sharing a meal is sharing life. It's getting to know someone's story and enjoying their friendship. Jesus was great at this. He eating in those days was central to life. Eating with someone was a statement that you wanted to be associated with them. Right? So when you invite somebody to dinner, when you invite somebody to go eat with, it's like, hey, I want to be associated with you, you know? You mean something to me. So, you know, call my wife and, we have a calendar. So we can go and eat at your home whenever you guys want. I love sushi, steak. Sushi, steak. So eating in those days was central to life. Hey, you know what? You mean you're important to me. I want to be associated with you. I want you to be part of my life, of my family. So the next one is serve. The S stands for serve, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. How we serve others like Jesus. The next one, the last S is story. I believe that when we begin with prayer and we listen and we eat and then we serve, there will be natural opportunities for us to be able to share our story and then be able to share the Jesus story. Right, so today we're going to be learning, we're going to be talking about the serve part of bless. So today's big idea, here's your next fill-in. Jesus' plan is to transform us through blessing us. The blessing will only transform us when we allow it to go through us. Okay, this is a good news. Jesus doesn't want to transform us through guiltiness, right? Jesus doesn't want to transform us through fear. You better do this or else I'm gonna do right? He's not trying to do that. I mean, I know there's some church cultures that's what's going on. But that's not what Jesus wants to do. He doesn't want to transform us through fear. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants to bless you. God is for you. He has good plans for your life. Yet that blessing would only transform us when we allow it to go through us. Do you guys get that? Yet the blessing will only transform us when we allow it to go through us. Think of it like this. Blessing plus serve equals transformation. Blessing minus serve equals, So I better start serving, right? When we share, when we don't share the good that God has given us, that blessing us actually can become toxic and can hinder your growth. When we don't share ourselves, when we don't share our time, when we don't share our skills, when we don't share our abilities, when we don't share our resources or our money, when we hold on to the blessings for ourselves, it can actually begin to suffocate our growth. When we keep everything for ourselves, we actually become more entitled. I deserve this. It is owed to me. I work for this. I deserve it. This is mine. The problem, this kind of problem, is almost with a problem that almost every child has, right? Parents, you know this. You know, you buy them a treat, right? You buy them some donuts, you buy them some chips, and maybe an ice cream, and maybe some cool little treats and stuff. And then while they're eating it, you're like, hey, can I have a little bit of that? And they're like, pfft. No, and mine, right? But sharing is caring. No, it's not. That's a true story. I'm like, sharing is caring. No, it's not. I was like, whoa. You know? I mean, and I feel like I just want to take it from him, and it's like, and eat it all myself. And it's like, hey, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out, buddy. Everything. Everything you have, I gave to you. Sharing is caring. No, it's not. Dog movie. Friend. I mean, but aren't you glad that God doesn't treat us like that? Imagine that. Imagine God saying, hey, I give you birth, I give you this, you're here for it because I did this and this. You're able to breathe. Look at what I did. This is amazing, incredible. Humanity, the body, the, you know, production and babies and all that stuff, right? God, it's a gift from God. Everybody go. It's a gift from God that you are able to breathe. Have you ever looked in the mirror? Next time you look in the mirror, say, you're a gift from God. Even the fact that you're here is a gift from God. I mean, I know some of you know about this. You know the how women get pregnant and the whole, right? The whole process, right? I mean, you're talking about sex. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about how the little thing goes. No, wait. I didn't want to say that. The egg, it goes, right? The body, the woman's temperature has to be the right temperature and all that, because if it doesn't, the egg won't catch and all that stuff, right? Right? That is amazing. I mean, women, the fact that you're able to give birth, wow. Right? Or wanna? Yeah. It's a gift from God. So imagine, it's because, you know, we don't share with him what he has given us, and then he's like, hey, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out, buddy. I mean, aren't you glad that he's not like that? None of us would be here, right? None of us would be here. Jesus said God is always a good father. And everything we have been, he has blessed us with, he has given us everything. And when we don't share and serve others through our blessing, and it actually stops our growth. If we're in a mindset of that everything that I get, everything is all for me, it's going to stop your growth. Look at what it says in Mark 10, 42 and 45. It says this, or Mark 10, 42 through 45. It says this. You know that among you, the nations of the world, the great ones, lord it over the little people and act like tyrants. But that is not the way it will be among you. Whoever would be great among you must serve and minister. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a slave to all. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant, to offer his life as a ransom for others. We are never more like Jesus than when we serve others. That is why we're serving our city next weekend. Right? We're not going to have a service here, but we're going to serve out there. Right? If you are here for the first time during this series, that's the plan. Next Sunday, we're going to meet here outside at 10 a.m., and we're going to go and serve the community. There's some parks that we're going to paint, some grass that we're going to cut, whatever it is that we need to do with these parks, and maybe the beach, depending on how many people show up. We're going to go serve the community. You sign up, you pick up a shirt, and you wear your shirt. I love TJ. That's what we're going to do. So join us. Join us. 10 a.m. here at the church, and we're going to go from here. And then after that, we're going to meet back here, and we're going to have a barbecue. Right? Yeah. Doesn't that sound like fun? Yeah. Come on, guys. So I'm going to give you some simple steps. Here's the first one. Serve people in my proximity. Serve people in my proximity. The people that Jesus served were always the people right in front of him. The people that Jesus served were people that were near him, those in close proximity. Something I've noticed when I've talked to people is that people are always overcomplicate things, right? They think that serving is like, hey, what's my calling, Lord? You know, am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a preacher? Am I going to be evangelist? Am I going to be a worship leader? We're thinking about these things, these big things, these big goals, these things that we want to, that you can write a book about, right? So when I mention, hey, what about your neighbor? That doesn't count. You know? Yeah. Jesus wouldn't even like my neighbor. You know right? You don't understand, Pastor. My neighbor is with the tambora all night. Bam, 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 bam. Right? Singing karaoke in 3 a.m. You don't understand. I'm saying that from experience. So maybe that's the problem, right? That our wall is like bam, 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 bam. You know what I'm saying? With that tambora, boom, 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 right? One time I started karaoke. It was like at 4 a.m. They started karaoke. I'm like, hey, man. Yeah. On a Saturday night, and we're having the church on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And they know we're pastors, like they're the pastors, like so we have to behave. Hey, hi. You know? Maybe you're the one with the tambora right in the middle of the night. Hey, you guys, stop that in the name of Jesus. So nobody, almost nobody wants to go to their neighbor because they have some experiences with the neighbor. The dog is pooping in your yard. They're parking in front of your parking and all this stuff, right? But those are the people that are next to us. Those are the people that are near us. That's where we need to start. You need to start where, with the people near you, in front of you, in close proximity, where you work, where you play, where you spend your time, where you hang out in your neighborhood. So if I ask you right now, who is that person? Just think about one person. Who is that person? Who is that person? I know that God is bringing a name into your mind right now. Right? Who is that person that you can maybe invite to lunch, that you invite to a barbecue, that you can invite for a coffee? Who is that neighbor? So grab your outline and write it down on your outline, please. Be praying for them, even if they have the tambora all night. Right? You guys put your name on it, their name on it already? Yeah? Yeah? Did you guys write a name down? Yes or no? If you haven't, please write it. I'm not going to continue till you write it. Did you write a name on it? Please raise your hand. If you haven't, write it because I'm waiting for you. Write it down. Maybe it's the person at the OXXO. I don't know. All right. We need to apply this stuff or else nothing's going to change in our life. Nothing's going to change. You're going to go out of here like, why even come if we're not going to apply anything that you learned? Your life is going to continue the same way. No friends, hanging out las pulgas, you know. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's going to change. So here's the next one. Serve people perceptively. Serve people perceptively. So what is the definition of perceptive? It says, having the ability to perceive, keen in discernment, marked by understanding, sensitive. Huh. Okay. You know how many times I've seen parents, you know, when the kids are doing something bad, they grab their kids and they're like, hey, come on. And they take them to the side and they're like, hey, bup, 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 bup. Right? My parents didn't do that. My parents got the chunk of, I brought you into the world and I'll take you out, yeah? Anybody know what the chunkla is for those English people? Yeah. Chunkla? Yeah. I thought it was just a. Something a Raiders. Right. I thought it was just in Mexico, but it's in the States too, the chancla. You know, the sandal and like, but I think Mexican women are like, you know, pros at it, right? Like from here all the way to where Natalie is, right in the face, right? Boom! And they're like, oh, what did I do? Right? So they're like, my parents were never took me aside. They're like, hey, God, I brought you into the world. And I'll take you out, right? So where am I at? Here we are. Okay. So look at this story. It's not on your notes. It's on it'll be on the screen. Look at this. Check out this story. Mark 7, 32 to 35 says this. There are some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his finger into the man's ears and he spit, touched the man's tongue, and he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be open. At this time, the man's ear opened and his tongue loosened and he began to speak plainly. Well, The Bible says that this guy was deaf, right? That he could hardly talk. So more likely, this guy knew what it was like to be made fun of, right? Can you picture that? Right? Yeah, just imagine how they probably mocked them, made fun of, laughed at him, right? Growing up, hey, kids are bad, right? Some adults were pretty bad too, right? So imagine that, picture that, right? He was making fun of, mocked. Every time this man tried to speak, it probably drew attention to his disability. And one of my favorite parts about this scripture is that Jesus realizes and refuses to make a spectacle of this condition. He took him aside, away from the crowd. Jesus is serving him in a way that shows that he understands what he needs beyond the obvious. He serves him perceptively. Stephen Covey, in one of his books called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, tells a story about when he was in a New York subway. He was reading a book, and then this father with these two kids, these wild kids that they were like running all over the place, running up and down and making noise and just bothering the people in the subway. And the father seemed not to notice or really care, right? The children were misbehaving, disturbing the people. They were just wild. I know that you guys have seen this before, probably. We're like, hey, that was my kid, you know, that chancla, right? Yeah, because sometimes we could, you know, fix other people's problems easier than ours, right? Hey, if that was my son, I will give him a and a boom, boom, right? So this guy, these kids were out of control. Finally, Stephen couldn't take it anymore, and he approached the father, and he explained that, hey, you really need to take control of your kids, right? You need to show them some respect. And the father responded, and he said, yeah, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to say to them. We just came from the hospital where their mother died. Seek first to understand. Seek first to understand the people that God put in close proximity, where you work, where you play, where you hang out in your neighborhood. Don't assume you know their story or their pain. Serve perceptibly. Here's the next one. Serve personally. You know that feeling that you had at the end of the story? When you found out that the mother had died, did it hurt? It did, huh? It did. Something inside of you went, ah. Oh, it hurt. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did in this story, the one we just read. Jesus goes beyond just perceiving this man's pain. He actually enters into the man's pain personally. Right? Where it says, "Look up." He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Ephatha." In the original language, this is not just a sigh like a normal sigh, like, right? In the original language, it was a deep personal groan, like when you know that something really bad happened to a person next to you, you're like, oh. Have you guys ever done that? Yeah. When you get the news that, you know, someone close to you, someone died, something happened, it's like, oh, like, you know, that's what he did. You know, he's in it. It was a deep personal groan. Jesus is feeling for what this guy's been through. So he has it in his mind, like, hey, this guy was probably mocked. This guy was probably teased. This guy was probably like, you know what I'm saying? So he's going a little bit deeper, a little bit more perceptive of this whole thing. He was affected by the suffering of the people he was serving. Whoever we're called to serve, we need to feel their pain. We need to spend time with them to try to understand them. What can I do for you? We could start with. Serving others is going to get personal. Here's your last one. Serve people powerfully. Serve people powerfully. Jesus served in close proximity. Jesus served in served perceptively. Jesus served personally. And finally, he served powerfully. One of the things that I don't want you to just run through in this story, in the events of this story, where it says, Jesus looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, Ephphatha, be open. And at this, the man's ears opened and his tongue was loosened. Something I want you guys to maybe take about this part of the story in serving is that Jesus used and accessed God's power. And we should too. Here's an assessment of our church right now. We've been here in this series about serving our community, right? And some of us, I hope, are excited about serving our community, that we're going to go and paint the community, the parks, and going to serve and stuff like that. And that is good. Some of us get excited about feeding the hungry. Some of us get excited about adopting orphans, right? And we should. But we should never forget that in our serving that we have available the power of God. And you might be thinking, but that was Jesus. Of course he could do miracles, but not me. John 14, 12. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even what? Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. If they're sick, pray and ask God to heal them. If they have an addiction, ask God to free them. If they have a relationship that is in a bad situation and they think it's hopeless, ask God to reconcile them. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, please. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. I know if I were to ask people to come up here, I know that everybody has a story of answered prayer. That at the time when you were asking or praying, you were going through some stuff, right? You're praying, Lord, Lord, this and this and this and that. But then some time passed. You might not even remember what you're asking for that he already answered you for. If we were to really think back in our life of things we asked for, I think we all have a story to tell. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. Help people find their way back to the Father. Maybe you're here. And maybe you want to find your way back to God. Maybe you've never said, Lord, forgive me. I want what you did on the cross to count in my life. The Bible says that for those who receive him, they go from death to life. It's called born again. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus like that, Lord, I want what you did on the cross, count for me. With everybody's eyes, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to go from death to life, that, you know, if something happens to you tomorrow and you die, you go to heaven with him. If there's anybody here that wants to say yes to Jesus today, just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Just pray with me. Let's all pray together. Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving me a new purpose, new life. Show me your ways, Lord. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.